Today I want to talk about species distribution models, mostly with respect to ant invasions. But species distribution models are being increasingly used to understand the ecological correlates of where species live and why they live there, to predict where invasive species will be able to occur, and to predict how species are going to change their distributions due to climate change or habitat modifications due to humans. Now, most of this work is fairly new, and with the easy access to programs like GARP or MaxEnt, more and more people are using them, but we haven't really figured out what effects our model predictions or how our sampling or spatial scale may have impacts on how well our models perform. So in this case, you can see that there's many ways you could sample the environmental heterogeneity of a region, whether it's well, biased manner, or even incompletely. And as you coarsen the spatial grain of your analysis, your sampling will change, and the factors that are important may also change depending on the scale of your analysis. So today I want to concentrate on just those two factors in terms of species distribution models: how sampling of the environmental variation will affect your model predictions, and what the effect of spatial resolution is on your model predictions. All right. And all of this is going to be in terms of Argentine ants in Southern California, and these are really an ideal model system, partially because they're everywhere. A lot of people are working on them, and there's a lot of interesting comparisons you can make. They're native to South America, those are the green dots, and the red dots represent current locations, or at least current as of the past couple years. They've been in California for about 100 years now, and they've been intensively studied in Southern California, in that we know what factors are important to their distribution and what's allowing them to spread and increase in abundance. They've also been used in the past few years for species distribution models. The upper figure here, let's see if we can do this, uses the native range down here to predict potential global spread of the species. Those are the colors in red. This figure here is using two different introduced ranges. So this is using Spain to predict North America. There's no room for this mouse. Here we go. And North America to predict Spain. And so these are just a few uses that people are starting to put species distribution models to. And to decide, I wanted to kind of look at how well they're actually performing. If we really look using independent data sets, independently collected data sets at the very least, what can we tell about model performance? So to address this, looking in Southern California, we have a data set that was provided by the USGS. This is a wonderful thing. It's what most people who work on introduced organisms are given, if they're using museum records or something else. Somebody else collected a nice data set for you. It's got presences and absences, and you can use it to make a model. Fantastic. The other approach is you find some poor chump of a graduate student to go out and sample intentionally in places you want to know where the species occurs. So we have two artificial regions. There's no reason a priori to think they're different. We have a northern region up here with a data set that was actually designed to sample reptile and amphibian diversity in Southern California. They got bored with that and decided to sample ants as well. So tremendous amount of information, nice and handy, well sampled, but it wasn't sampled with the purpose of figuring out environmental heterogeneity and how the species responds to it. Then we have the southern region, where we intentionally went out and sampled representatively in all the different environments for Argentine ants. And Argentine ant presences are represented by the hollow circles, absences are by the dark circles. Now we took this southern region and divided it into two data sets for the purpose of statistics, so we would have two data sets that are well sampled or representatively sampled for the environments in the region, and then one data set that wasn't representatively sampled. Using seven environmental variables that are typically used in a lot of these modeling situations, climate variables such as maximum, minimum temperature, precipitation, and then habitat variables like land cover, distance to perennial streams, things that are important to Argentine ant distributions. And we performed the analyses at four different spatial grains: 100 meters, 1 kilometer, 5 kilometers, and 10 kilometers. So to give you just a nice pictorial idea of what can happen, if we take the northern region data and we use a random two-thirds selections of it to make a typical climate model, we predict Argentine ants to be in the bright red areas and not to be in the gray areas. And if you test the model with the remaining third of that data, it does pretty well using AUC. And just to give you an idea of what these numbers mean, sensitivity is the proportion of time you correctly predict a presence. Specificity is the proportion of time you correctly predict an absence. So it does pretty well in the region in which it was parameterized. If we take that model and predicted into the southern region, right beneath it, we find this prediction. It doesn't predict Argentine ants to be along the coast, but it does predict them to be very abundant out here. And that region out there is the Algodones sand dunes, an area that Argentine ants physiologically cannot survive in. So there's a huge disjunction in how well this model actually does. It does not correctly predict their presences right here, and it doesn't actually even do that good of a job at predicting their absences. Now, to see what happens when you use a well-sampled data set, if we just take the data set from down here and parameterize it using the same parameters, we get this prediction. And if we test it with the part of the data set we didn't use up here, it does amazingly well. Again, you're testing within the same region, but you are testing with two different data sets. Scale can also change your predictions. In this case, this is a 100-meter model, and it predicts Argentine ants to be closely associated with urban habitats, regardless of the climate in the surrounding regions. So you find that it does predict Argentine ants to be out here in urban areas in the desert, and it doesn't predict Argentine ants to be in coastal areas that don't have human habitation near them. This is Camp Pendleton, a large military reservation. Now, if we scale up to 10 kilometers and look at Argentine ant predictions at that spatial grain, regardless of habitat type, it predicts Argentine ants to be in the coastal regions and nowhere else, and it predicts them to be everywhere on the coast, regardless of the type of habitat that may be out there. So to look more carefully at how parameters are changing in importance across sampling distributions and across scale, I used a model averaging approach, creating every possible model combination with those seven variables, and then we judged the performance using AIC. And from those AIC model performances, we created 95% confidence sets. And basically, those are the set of models that perform equally well, and you're 95% certain somewhere in that confidence set it would contain the best model if you were to rerun the analysis. And what happens? Well, again, there's no a priori reason to think these two regions are different. They're right next to each other. They're defined by political boundaries. But what we actually find is that in the northern region, annual precipitation almost never appears within a model confidence set, meaning it's not a very important variable. In the southern region, it's always in the model confidence sets. It's a very important variable. And other variables show the opposite trend, such as distance to urban area and perennial streams are fairly common and decline in commonness in the southern region. Another way of looking at this data is if we look at the models that are in common between the two confidence sets, so just the subset of the ones that appear in each, you find that models perform better if they're shared, that's the black bar, they perform better if they're parameterized with the southern region data than the northern region data, implying when you sample the environment appropriately, you perform and you create a more general model. Now if we do the same sort of analysis across spatial grains, you get some really interesting patterns. Again, that might not be shocking, but people haven't really looked at this. We see urban and perennial stream types here. Very common, always included in models at the 100-meter spatial grain. At 10 kilometers, they're almost never included. So the type of habitat you're in is very important if you're doing a high-resolution model prediction, and as you move away from that, they become less important. Well, climate variables show the opposite pattern. As you coarsen the spatial resolution of your analysis, climate becomes more important and more common in model parameters. And if you look at the models that are shared, are you even getting the same models when you're changing the spatial grain? You're not. So if you look at, there are no models in common between the 10-kilometer spatial grain and the 100-meter spatial grain. And actually, you have a dramatic dropping off just going from 100 meters to 1 kilometer. So in summary, insufficient sampling appears to cause large errors, or at least it may cause large errors in your predicted distribution, and it may cause errors in how you're interpreting in parameters to be important biologically. And secondly, when regions differ in environmental parameter space, which usually happens when you're trying to predict the distribution due to climate change, or predict if a species will spread from Argentina to California, two areas that have nothing in common climatically, you might have large errors. And then at spatial scales, you have, again, performance of variables changes across the spatial grain. And this is due both a sampling effect, as you coarsen your spatial grain, variables change, the sampling region actually changes, and variables differ in whether they're used at different spatial scales. So some variables are more important at coarser grains than at others. So I want to thank my funding sources from NOAA and the USDA and all the people that helped with sampling and technical support. I'd be happy to answer any questions. In some of them it does. So normalized difference vegetation index, basically the measure of the greenness of the vegetation, it's natively collected at 250 meter resolution from satellites. So when you coarsen that to 10 kilometers, you're losing a vast amount of data and your variation does change dramatically in response to that.
Thank you.